Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It's March. March Madness. Welcome back, March Madness. I got a special guest on the line today. This guy is a Wolverine on multiple levels. Okay, he's the only guy I know in the entire world that went to law school, got a degree, gave him the middle finger and said no thanks, and then just went back to his regular day job, crushing the game. But Dustin, I know you're very excited with the number one seed. You're Michigan Wolverines. You eat, breathe, and die. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm good, Tim. Thanks for having me. As a Michigan fan, this has been a long, drawn out process. First number one seed for the team, right? Juwan, Coach of the Year in the Big Ten. Unfortunately, like all things Michigan athletics, it comes with a huge asterisk. We need a new livers at this point, right? And that's the problem right now. We got a senior leader, borderline, NBA lottery pick on the sidelines, and so it's bittersweet for being a fan of his and being a fan of this team. And as obviously as an alum and a college basketball fan, to have a team that, is kind of limping into March right now, and just hoping for some good news maybe after the first weekend that he's available to come back and join the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head. I think Michigan's a different team with him on the floor. That's no questions, right? I mean, and if he does come back after the first weekend, everybody better look out because I do think it'll be a long run. And I do believe, like, we'll touch on this in a couple of minutes, but the team of everyone's choice, it seems, across the nation is Gonzaga, and I think Michigan would definitely give them fits in the Final Four. But I wanted to. One, I know you have a ridiculous amount of knowledge around sports. I loved, being able to discuss a lot of sports and different takes throughout the years. But when you looked at the bracket, did anything come off the board and like surprise you? Is there any team that you felt like, I got one team in particular I think got kind of screwed as far as their ranking and where they got put. Was there any that jumped off the map for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's been talked about by a lot of pundits out there. Just such depth in the Big 12. Oklahoma State probably on that four line, probably a tough one for me, right? Just knowing how their schedule broke out, how they played, kind of how the season ended for them. They made the Big 12 championship game. They played a tough and rested Texas team who got kind of the COVID bye versus Kansas in the semifinal. They look like they ended on a loss. They lost the first half of that game, battled back, won the second. A 91-86 kind of end-to-end Big 12 game like that. That's the type of game you play in the Final Four, play in the Elite Eight. That's a good basketball team. And to see them kind of on that four line, just kind of a tough spot for them. I think the Big 12 and the Big 10 put a lot of teams in the field, and we've talked about, the Baylors and the Michigans, and I'm sure we'll talk about Illinois too. That next tier right below it, the Iowas, the Oklahoma States, the West Virginias, these are great basketball teams, and there's not enough room on the one and two line for everyone. But I would have thought that Oklahoma State probably would have been a three in my book. I think it's tough because they lose to Texas. Virginia gets a three as well out of the same conference. So I guess maybe it is what it is, just too much room at the top. But if I look at them versus a Purdue out of the Big Ten on the four line, I think that's a better basketball team. And I think that, they could easily find their way in the Final Four.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, I thought the team that got screwed the most definitely was Oklahoma State, but I was actually thinking, like, I thought the Illini, got screwed. I thought they got the toughest bracket when you're looking down. I mean, they have Oklahoma State in their bracket. You touched base on West Virginia. I think Houston is a well-coached team. And I just thought, they can have some fits there with those teams. I was just like, man, because I do believe Oklahoma State got, should have had a three or a two in my eyes based on watching them. I know there was a lot of back to back in, both conferences, like you said, the Big 12 and the Big 10, but I'm like, man, they probably have the number one player. And, I guess if you're a U of I fan, you probably don't want to see them in the Sweet 16 necessarily. You'd probably want to see them, later down the road. But that's what I was thinking. But yeah, you hit it on the head. Any, I want to get right into right into the tournament, right? Is there any teams that really, there's always going to be a huge upset, right? We're going to be talking about it. Do you have any upsets in mind that you have picked in your bracket or you want to tell the listeners about to check out, maybe look into?
Well, out of the Big Ten, I know that Michigan State has to play the play-in game versus UCLA. I think everyone knows what Tom Izzo does. A team that underperformed in December and January, big COVID break, lost a lot of games back to back to back. At one point, it was basically, basically not going to make the tournament. They beat Illinois, Ohio State, and Michigan in the last, 30 days of the season, right? Those are big wins for them. They're certainly capable. I don't see those wins out of UCLA, right? So you take that UCLA thing, they go up then against a BYU team. Again, BYU out of the WCC obviously plays the likes of Gonzaga. Appreciative of the schedule that they put together, right? What they've tried to accomplish on that sixth line. Don't have a Hall of Fame coach. Don't have the recruits that Michigan State has. Could easily see that team, find its way into that matchup versus Texas, right? And be in a winnable game in that regard. They hit the boards real hard, but that's an easy one for me out of the Big Ten. I think if I look around the brackets, in particular, right, there's just good basketball teams. And this is a weird year because of COVID. A lot of people talking about Ohio, right? The 13 seed versus Virginia, right? Opportunity to see an upset there. I just think that, like, you look at the year we're in right now, teams didn't play the number of out-of-conference games. The big preseason and early season tournaments were all different and tweaked in format, not quite as broad or expansive as they are historically. If there's ever a year where you're going to see this 12, this 13, maybe a win throw-up, take down a certainly an exposed and vulnerable Villanova team, there's just opportunity. It's ripe for the opportunity. We've seen it in the past. You mentioned Illinois and the Loyola Chicago thing. Listen, I think Illinois, going back to your comment on getting screwed, that cheeky second round possible matchup versus Loyola Chicago. I know that the brackets team and the committee probably did that intentionally, but I hate that stuff. That does make a little weird kind of Chicago rivalry game. They're not in the same conference. I know they're not traditional rivals. It's just an odd matchup. I wouldn't wish that on Illinois. That's probably a disappointment for me. I think Illinois is worthy of the discretion you would get of a team being in your conference and not on your second game on the slate. So, for me, it's these 12s, these 13s, like normal. I know how people talk about Georgetown as well. I wouldn't be surprised if one or more than one of the 12 and 13 seeds find their way into the Sweet 16 and are around on the second weekend.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. I mean, people that are listening, Villanova lost their best player. He was their senior leader. He blew out his MCL or ACL, one of the two. Not good. He's out for the season. So, Villanova, I definitely think is hurting right now, and especially when it just happened, right? I think it was in the in their championship. Not they weren't in the championship game, but they were in one of their tournament play. And the thing that you bring up about Illinois having to play Chicago in the second round, they might have played a practice game. I mean, it goes, and what I mean by that is there's a lot of times these bigger schools get together with a smaller school and they kind of practice and work on things. And Porter Moser, who's the head coach over there, he actually used to coach Illinois State. Shout out to Illinois State. I did go there. They're not in the tournament, unfortunately, this year. I think after the first game, they realized they probably weren't a tournament team. Go Redbirds. But I know that he used to go around and have Illinois State at least play bigger programs just so they can get practice in. It's not on your record, nothing like that, but it's something that they did amongst teams. I thought it was pretty interesting. I wonder because of the pandemic and non-conference or out-of-conference games weren't happening. I was wondering if maybe they got together and just, ran it back a couple of times, get the team a little bit more game experience before before U of I hit the Big Ten. And that would be interesting because they would kind of seen each other. I'm sure they've seen each other, locally playing against one another and whatnot. But yeah, you bring up a good point there. Is there, one team that's interesting to me that's got a lot of publicity? They're only a six seed, but I feel like ESPN only talks about them is Texas Tech. Did you have a chance to watch them all at all this year? And I mean, they got a big recruit out of Georgetown, a transfer that, a little guy that just dunks all over. He's been on YouTube everywhere. Have you checked out Texas Tech? Because I think they're an interesting team. And I think they could, if they were to make it against a team like Ohio State, I think they can give them fits and kind of make a run as a six seed. But what are your thoughts there? Have you checked them out
Yeah,
or?
I'd say this, Tim. You got a Texas Tech team, right? They lose in the Big 12 tournament to the eventual champion, Texas, by 1 point. Obviously, close game down to the wire rivals, right? It just shows their potential. 9-8 in the conference overall. Got blown out by Baylor, played them a little tougher the first go around, right? lost a 1-point game at West Virginia. What I'd say is this about the team. I like them, right? They're certainly capable. A lot of the teams in the Big 12 and Big 10 just have an advantage of, really just the opportunity to go through the slugfest that is those regular seasons, playing tough teams in and out. That battle testing is really strong. It's the one thing that always worries me about Gonzaga, right? Mark Few, always the team of the year in November, right? Always a little short in the March, timeline. They don't get those big games, those notoriety, that opportunity in conference to play those tough kind of, nervy games. Texas Tech's had those games. They played tight to rivals. They haven't won a lot of those games. They lost both of their overtime games. They lost to some of their rivals by 1 point. On the flip side of that, I seen Okie State team I talked about earlier that, has four overtime wins, right? And the Baylor win. I certainly, that's why they're on the four line, not on the six line. But sure, any team out of the Big 12 or Big 10, six, seven, eight, nine line, if they make the Sweet 16, no surprise there. If they make the Elite Eight, tip their cap to them. Didn't see it coming on some level, but no, wouldn't surprise me. The Big 12 is deep this year. They got a lot of great things going on in that conference. Not your traditional ACC basketball powerhouse per se, but excited for the teams that are coming out of that conference. And I'll certainly be picking a lot of them to be in the second weekend in my bracket.
Yeah, in Oklahoma State, just so people know, they got a kid named, if you haven't heard of him, you haven't watched college basketball, but Cade Cunningham, he'd probably be the number one pick or number two pick in the draft. He closed games out. I mean, he led the offense and he closed it out. He's not like the best shooter by any means. I think he definitely shoots over 40% from three. He's just very efficient. He's very smooth with it. And so he always feels very comfortable. So those close games, especially in like tournament play, where you're going to have close games against probably a team you didn't expect for the most part, I would imagine, especially the, with everyone going to be in Indianapolis, it's going to be a different atmosphere. Who knows how COVID affects this? I hope not at all. I would hate to see that. But I think a team, like you said, Oklahoma State, and why I said U of I got kind of screwed is they have that closer. And you want to be battle tested. You want to go down the wire. So you know what that pressure feels like. And I was going to say probably up to 2 weeks ago when Gonzaga was getting, they're getting pretty smashed at half. I think they were down double digits against BYU. They came back and won. But yeah, they hadn't had that many close games in the regular season. And like you stated, that sometimes gets them in trouble because, and we'll talk about Gonzaga here in a few minutes because I think they're a different team than historically. And I'll bring up some points, but I know that you should have been a lawyer, could be a lawyer. So I know that I'll probably get dominated in that conversation, but I love to have it. So now let's just take a step back, right? A lot of people, and I just want to know one more team as far as upset. Everyone's picking, and I actually don't like this upset at all. But I haven't watched one Colorado game in my life. I have watched Georgetown recently. I know they just won to get in, but I thought they were kind of weak and mediocre up to the tournament play, up to the them winning their conference championship. I thought they were kind of weak. Do you think that Georgetown, did you pick Georgetown over Colorado in the East bracket?
No, I think that's just recency bias. You got a team with a losing record going into the Big East tournament. Obviously, a famous head coach, back, at his alma mater, getting it done for the team, right? Lots of excitement. Colorado's I think there's number 17 to KenPom, right? I mean, that puts them right there, that almost that four line, right? I think Colorado's a good team. They're a top 20 offense, top 30 defense. They're better both ends of the court than Georgetown. I don't see that one. I think that people are excited about that being, kind of a fun story. Sometimes we talk about stuff and we have this recency bias. We don't really think about maybe all the data we got over the course of a season. And there's something to be said for teams playing well at the end of the year, but Colorado's worthy of winning that game. And I have no doubt that Buffaloes will be there in the second round. Now, I don't know if they'll how deep they'll go after that, right? But that's a tough Florida State team they might end up matching up against in the second round. But I do think Colorado will win the opener.
Okay, perfect. No, I'm there with you. And then one team, because that not a lot of people, if they're filling out brackets, if they're college basketball fans, it depends how much college basketball you're watching. But for the average fan, if they follow that, they're like they see Houston as a number two seed in U of I's bracket in the Midwest, and probably not. I mean, outside of maybe watching a little bit of college football, you probably haven't, watched a lot of Houston basketball. Have you watched Houston? Obviously, they have a legendary coach. He's turned the program around in a very short time. I mean, what are your thoughts on Houston making a run outside of these powerhouses, right? I mean, most of the teams out here are, you heard of the Gonzagas, you heard of a Baylor, Michigan, U of I, Ohio State, Iowa, even Alabama. But, Houston, I mean, I don't think a lot of people, have you been able to catch any of
You know,
their
I like
games?
you, Tim. I don't, you know, they're not on TV the way the other conferences are, right? Certainly seen the highlights, you know, watch their statistics over the year. Kelvin Sampson, obviously a great coach. His biggest problem's been himself, right? Getting himself in trouble wherever he goes. End of the day, they do have a couple of weird losses, right? Tulsa, East Carolina, teams that are, you know, outside of the top 100 nationally, statistically, right? You know, those are just troubling results. Nice win in the AAC tournament, right? Over Memphis, probably a nice win there. Blew the doors off of a terrible Cincinnati team in the championship game. So, you know, they'll win their first game. They'll probably be in the second weekend, no problem. Kind of unknown after that. They don't have a lot of big wins. We talked about Texas Tech earlier. Nice win versus them all the way back in November. Kind of one of those neutral court games, okay? Decent game just after the new year versus SMU. Quality win there versus, you know, with the quad one team. And that second win versus them in the end of January, big gap then, right? Couple wins versus Memphis, not a lot of other things out there, to be honest with you. Played some weird, like, I don't know, borderline high school, something called Our Lady of the Lake in February. They're non-ranked and they don't even have a hyperlink on the internet. I mean, I don't know what that game was. Maybe that's your scrimmage versus Loyola Chicago that might have happened. Reality is this. Houston's a little unknown for me. I'm not going to have him in any of my final fours personally. I do the Illinois in most of my final fours. That said, you know, good coach, strong performance throughout the year. We'll see him in the second weekend. Probably just really excited for that Houston West Virginia matchup in the Sweet 16. That's one. I'll probably pencil that one right to there. I'm on West Virginia over Houston personally, but, you know, happy to hopefully see that one come about and maybe see a nice opportunity to see some of the best of college basketball in the second weekend.
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head. I mean, that's what I was going to bring up. I didn't know you were going to point out some of those teams. I was like, I have no idea who they played because I was looking at their schedule. But I feel like when we brought up a little bit about, the knock on Gonzaga historically has been, hey, they haven't played anyone or their schedule is weak. And I feel like this year's Gonzaga, I know they're in the field, but it's kind of like Houston has, Gonzaga of years past written all over it. Maybe not as deep of a run, though. I do think they're going to be in trouble once they play like a, West Virginia, like you stated. I think they're going to be in trouble. But yeah, that's what I had watched them, and I was, I had the same, hesitance like of I don't know how deep they're going to be able to run. They were playing. They might have played Illinois State. They didn't play anyone really tough, and like you said, they made up teams to play. So, I mean, I guess you had to during COVID to get the numbers up. But, wanted to give you, a minute or two to talk a little bit about who you have in the Final Four and how your Wolverines can take over and win this. Because one thing is that I know is that Michigan basketball better than probably anyone. And I want people to hear what your thoughts are. You should have been a lawyer, so this should be pretty easy. So half the brackets coming on ESPN after listening to this will be on Michigan. But, who's in your Final Four? And then, how does Michigan win this whole
Yeah, I mean,
thing?
the Michigan team, you know, stacks up like this. You know, when you have Livers in the lineup, you have this big trio, right? You have Dickinson, you have Livers, and you have Wagner, right? A lot of you know Mo Wagner. He's currently in the NBA with a star at Michigan as well, the big man from Germany. His younger brother's, you know, a winger, right? Really long, picks up a lot of steals. He's in a lot of passing lanes, tremendous defender, great Euro step, good outside the arc. You know, he can turn it up, turn it down. He's also in that kind of borderline NBA lottery pick, certainly a first round pick scenario. Dickinson will be a first round pick in the future. So you know, when fully healthy, you got three NBA first rounders on one roster, right? You know, the big thing for this is with Livers out, Dickinson, the big guy, freshman, Big Ten freshman of the year, has to step up. When he's got his back to the basket, he is so great over his right shoulder with his left hand off the glass. Doesn't really have the counter move I'd like to see at this point in his career. Just clearly didn't have to develop it in high school. It was just too big at 7'1", uncontested a lot of the time. You know, he's had some trouble against Illinois and some of the bigger guys in the conference. That said, he should be able to take care of business. The bigger issue for Michigan is really tough second round matchup with a team without Livers trying to find their identity. LSU scores the lights out of the ball, hasn't played a lot of actual defense this year, right? You got a top five offense, 125 on D, kind of played a little bit of defense recently. And the Michigan team that just struggled to kind of score without Livers against Ohio State could see a tight game versus LSU. I do think Michigan would pull that out. Should St. Bonaventure take LSU in the first round, I think Michigan would pull that one out too. So it's all there. They would certainly, I think, have a good matchup against Florida State or Colorado, later on in the second weekend. If by some chance they can get Livers back, they are a legitimate Final Four contender. The problem for them is I just don't know the status of his injury. Everyone at Michigan uses the phrase stress injury. People are not using the word fracture. Fracture would be 6 to 8 weeks, and this would be kind of done for the season scenario. He's a great kid. He's a senior leader, co-captain. I do think he's going to try to make it happen at some point, as long as Michigan can get deep enough. The real question for me is how late do they have to get to give him a chance to come back? And that's the real question. The other problem for Michigan in the East is this. Alabama's a really strong two seed. We think of them as a college basketball powerhouse. We don't always talk about, what they're doing on the basketball court right now. Listen, Nate Oates, again, just like Juwan Howard, conference coach of the year, the conference player of the year, defensive player of the year. They're going to mop the floor with Rick Pitino in the first round, which is fantastic. Everyone's been patting Rick Pitino on the back as guy taking a fifth team to the dance, okay? Rick Pitino's a scumbag. Everyone needs to remember that guy's a scumbag. Who cares about Rick Pitino? Can't wait to see Alabama blow their doors off and that feel-good story on the first night of the tournament. And obviously, if Michigan has to play in Alabama, that will be a team that will really stretch Michigan, really stretch them with or without Livers. It's a great opportunity. Alabama's worked their way into the top 10, deservingly so. Played a lot of great games, a lot of big wins. SEC, pretty strong conference this year, right? Talked about those LSU games. They just had a tight, one-point win over LSU to kind of take the SEC Conference Tournament Championship. So Michigan has the ability. What I'll say about Michigan is this: we talked about the players. Juwan Howard is a game changer as a coach, right? Number one recruiting class coming in next year. You look at what Juwan's got going on, tremendous stuff. This is not the year. This year is kind of ahead of schedule for Michigan. I think in the years to come, we'll really see the potential there. End of the day, former NBA great, NBA champion, NBA assistant coach of the year. That's the kind of pedigree that you normally hand the reins to the Chicago Bulls to. Michigan got really lucky they got an alumni with that kind of talent to be the head coach. The thing about Michigan is this: they can play three quarters, they can play full court on D. They do a lot of matchup zone at the end after kind of coming out in a 2-3 zone when they mix out a man. Just having a coach that has the ability to mix things up like that, they can maybe cover for Livers in the first weekend, which I hope they can do. And then it really comes down to what the second weekend really looks like. So, Tim, I'm still bullish on Michigan being there in the second weekend, making that Sweet 16. I'm concerned about the idea of them being a Final Four team. Probably tip my cap to Alabama on that, just the way things sit right now. But I'm excited for the what's in the East bracket. I think there's a lot there to talk about, and I don't have this juggernaut in the East that's going to be in the Final Four no matter what, like I might give you with an Illinois or Gonzaga.
Okay. So I guess I got a lot of people, that listen to the podcast that are from Illinois. Huge Illini fans. Because you are detailed, what does U of I bring to the table? I'm going to bring up some concerns and you can just rebuttal them or just tell me what you think that U of I is going to be able to just run through everyone. The thing that scares me a little bit about U of I is that they have their two best scorers. One of them, the big center, what's his name?
Coburn.
Kofkat? Yeah, Coburn. He cannot shoot free throws, which concerns me in the tournament when it comes later down the road. Obviously, the guy averages a double-double. He's phenomenal. But then also, U of I does not shoot that great from three. Adam Miller, he came out of high school, phenomenal shooter, but he's streaky at best right now, his freshman year. I mean, obviously, if he gets hot, it's a game changer. And then the other thing is the point guard that comes off, the left-handed kid, I can't think of his name this minute, he can't shoot threes at all. I think he shoots like 13% or 15%. So that's what concerns me because I feel like when you're looking at teams historically in the tournament, they've been pretty good free throw shooting team for the most part, and they definitely could shoot threes. And I feel like that's the only things that concern me from U of I, but they play phenomenal defense. They have a young leader that, I mean, the mask, man, he's just taken over. I mean, he's been taking over since he came out of high school, but he's really on the map now. and their defense is good. But you know, what are the some of the other things that you probably watched just as many U of I games I have in the Big Ten schedule? What are some things that jump
Well,
off
first of all, they
to you?
haven't, lost a game in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Just hasn't happened, right? They've had some really tough, big time games. They won some of those games big. They blew Michigan out at Michigan, right? They took care of Ohio State twice, and what were kind of back and forth close games, but at the end, kind of felt like they were the better team, in and of themselves. They really made Iowa kind of just look like, they were kind of a second rate, more of a 2-3 seed, not a 1 seed. Took them right off that top line. You got a team that, in from an offense and defensive efficiency level, in the top 10, both sides of the court, like that kind of two-way team. I'm high on Illinois. I'm not worried about some of the stuff you've talked about. Now, they're going to find themselves in a tight game down the stretch, like all these teams do. Okay, and they're going to have to find a way to win. I look at their schedule and their outcomes. I see 3 overtime games. I see 3 victories. Right. I see a team that played well on the road,
Yep.
played well at home. Their worst losses of the season were months ago. And I see a team that's kind of coming to their own. They're very confident. My only fear right now of an Illinois team, the one thing I'd be concerned about is this: in the world of COVID, okay, these kids are not on campus. They're not out and about doing stuff. They're sitting at home. They're on their iPhones, and honestly, they're on the internet and they're reading about themselves. And guess what? You got to be worried about feeling yourself a little too much. I think that hurt Michigan a couple weeks back, right? Kind of feeling themselves too much. A lot of people, is this the best team in the country, right? When Livers was still around, right? Got that kind of hype. Illinois has that hype right now. And can you come out flat? Can you have a bad game? You certainly can. We always have to remember these are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, right? They're only a year or two removed from playing in high school basketball games, let alone on the national stage. Reality for me is Illinois. I have them in the Final Four. I easily see an opportunity for them to cut down the nets. I think that they're probably my favorite to do that from just a mathematical perspective. That said, they'll be in the Elite Eight in a minimum. I'm pretty confident of that. I expect to see them in the Final Four. And if they really win that national championship, it'd be exciting times for Illinois basketball, and it'd be a big opportunity for them to put themselves back on maybe the national stage they were on 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you did point out some things, how they did hit the free throws and they won close games. I always just, I guess I had a pretty nice sizable bet a couple years back in Wisconsin. I think they were playing Duke and they forgot how to shoot free throws and it cost them the game. So that always worries me in the back of my mind, no matter what. So for some reason, maybe it's just my bettor's remorse that's always looking at free throw percentage and stuff. But like you said, yeah, I mean, they gotta be confident. They're
Tim,
hitting
I
on
gotta
all
say this
cylinders right
with just a
now.
wrap on Illinois. As a Michigan fan, I know there's always that tough loss in 89 to the Wolverines in the Final Four, right? Really, taking it to and kind of sneaking by the original Flying Illini. That Michigan team, probably, kind of just snakes by and kind of steals that victory back in 89. Illinois on a kind of a reverse move here, maybe not in the tournament, right? But pre-tournament, just kind of just in a swim move on Michigan, went from taking the mantle. I know Michigan still won the regular season tournament. Illinois won the conference tournament, right? At the end of the day, you got the Flying Illini kind of back at it, kind of the new crew, the new era. This is their year. This is a shot at it. It's legitimate. The road's there for them. We talked about how tough their bracket is. All the brackets are tough at the end of the day. I wouldn't be surprised if they finally got it done and raised that first national championship banner in the modern era.
Yeah, that would be huge. Obviously, we're all rooting for that in U of I, or I mean, in Illinois for U of I, without a doubt. I mean, obviously. And you know, a couple thing is U of I in the last couple of weeks, I think they've had a couple nice come from behind victories in a sense, right? They, you know, throughout the game were down, I think they were down, double digits in the semifinals, and they came back and won, I believe it's the semifinals. But you know, one other thing is I want to touch base on is, you know, Baylor and Gonzaga. I want to save Gonzaga for the last because I know you like to beat them up, and rightfully so, just because you live in the territory of Gonzaga land, I like to say. But you know, Baylor, you had mentioned them earlier. They're rough. I mean, and I think they're a really good basketball team. What you stated is one thing that I always think of, like COVID affecting a team. I will say some used it to their advantage, like Coach K. His team wasn't going to make the bracket anyway. He's like, hey, we got to cancel the season. It's not going to ruin my streak, hopefully, not being out of the tournament. But it did. Sorry, Coach K. But Baylor was on a roll, undefeated, hitting on all cylinders, and then boom, they got hit with COVID, right? That affected them. I think they were out of commission for, I want to say like 12 days or something. It might be a little bit longer. I would have to triple check, but I know they got hit pretty hard. Yeah, they got hit. I don't know. They had a pause. I don't know how long it was. It was pretty lengthy because I remember everyone talking about it, how it would affect them, and then they came out and they lost. Not the very next game, but they came out and didn't play that well. What are your thoughts on Baylor? Do you think they make a nice run? They do have Ohio State as the number two in their bracket. I just think I've seen Baylor play a couple times, and I just think, like, damn, they're a well-oiled machine when they were playing earlier on in the season. And even now after the COVID, I don't know how much COVID affects the kids. I have no idea, but it seems like it
You
affects
got a
everyone
3 week
different. What are your
pause,
thoughts?
kind of in the February timeline. Obviously, kind of an interesting, situation in the year. A couple teams went through that. Michigan went through it. Michigan State went through it. They're a really good offensive team. You're number three, kind of an offensive efficiency in the nation. A little bit poorer from a defensive side, kind of surprising with how athletic they are, but they do kind of lack some of the true size you might see for some of the bigger teams in the conference. We just talked about like a Michigan or an Illinois. I like them. They clearly can get the ball and get out on the fast break and take care of teams on the offensive side of the ball. They got a coach, Scott Drew. I think he's been there borderline 20 years at this point. I can't remember a year without him. He's the two-time defending Big 12 Coach of the Year. We talked about other coaches of the year on this podcast already, right? Important thing for them. I would assume Baylor's going to make a run in this tournament and be there towards the end. I think that they're a good basketball team. I've seen a lot of people put them in the Final Four. I think they're better than Ohio State. Ohio State is a team that is strong. They're definitely that traditional, like, number two on the line card. I don't see Ohio State as a Final Four team, and it's not me saying that with a Michigan hat on, just kind of a reality. Ohio State, again, very similar to Baylor, has a top five offense, but their defense is atrocious by comparison. So, nice run at the end here for Ohio State. Don't see it obviously breaking their way for the Final Four. Do see Baylor probably making that run? I do think this is one of those years you're probably going to see three number one seeds, in the Final Four, just kind of how the way from the chalk goes. We talked earlier about some 12s and 13s making some runs to the second weekend. Possible. Not going to be in the Final Four this year. Definitely enough strength on the one line and the two line to take care of most of the teams in the tournament. I expect to see Baylor deep in this tournament. I think they're better than Ohio State. I like them in a weak division against the Villanovas and Purdue's. They're definitely better than both those teams. Elite Eight for sure. 95% chance they're in the Final Four. If you want to make a few bucks in the next couple of weekends or whatever, make sure you're on Baylor.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. And I think you brought it up a couple times, right? You brought up the age of these kids and you brought up coaching. And I would say people got to realize this year is different. There's not full capacity crowds. Obviously, everyone knows that. But when you're a younger kid, you got a lot of adrenaline pumping. The crowds, I mean, make an impact. They do. If you watch the Duke game this year, it definitely impacted them. You watch the Kentucky game, it impacted them. I don't care what anyone says. These kids haven't, these five-star recruits at some of these schools, they never even played in a gym that quiet since they probably were in seventh grade. And so I do believe it impacts kids. And I also believe coaching is more important than ever right now, especially with, just how you keep your team motivated, right? You're all going to be staying in kind of like a bubble scenario in Indianapolis. So I'm curious to see. So I think you bring up great points. You brought it up about the Houston coach. You brought it up about Baylor with Drew. So I think both of those. Now everyone's Cinderella in a sense. Not Cinderella where they're going to surprise you. Cinderella where they are the breadwinner. Everyone's like, hey, Gonzaga or nothing. So if you got to pick. So I just one quick question before we get in Gonzaga because I do like you brought up some good points via text message a few weeks back. You had to pick two teams, the whole field. You pick two teams against the field. What two teams are you picking to take down the Nets? Are you picking
Yeah, I
Gonzaga, U
mean,
of
listen,
I,
I'm a
or
realist.
something
I've,
different?
I do Gonzaga, U of I. I think Illinois is the best team in the country right now. I think Gonzaga's got the weakest two in Iowa, right on the two line. I think that they missed the troublesome threes and fours with the Oklahoma State and the West Virginia kind of back-to-back kind of double that Illinois got saddled with. I think Virginia is beatable, right? Tony Bennett's crew. I appreciate they won the tournament a couple of years back. Just don't see the same squad from them this year. I think Gonzaga will be in the Final Four. They're likely in the championship game. I see them in the championship game probably, kind of, up against, hopefully one of the other one seeds in this tournament, right? So, good for them. They deserve a chance to win a national championship again. They've been in the finals before. Mark Few is a good guy. He's got a great thing going. It's the only thing going in Spokane, to be honest with you. A little shout out to Spoke Compton out there on the east side. The reality is this, they haven't played anyone in months. They haven't been in close games. When they roll the balls out versus Pacific and San Francisco, these schools, they already won in the locker room. And that doesn't work anymore in modern college basketball. The NCAA men's basketball tournament is a one and done thing for a reason. There are plenty of times the best team in the country just has not gotten it done. I'm not gonna lie to you. I think that it's highly likely that Gonzaga is gonna make it deep in this tournament. But once again, just they're just not gonna get it done. And I don't know necessarily who's gonna take them out, okay? But it could just be this. They could just find themselves at the end of this thing up against, a like for like one team who's been a little more battle tested and getting it done. And that's probably the winner of that kind of Baylor Illinois game. So it may take it all the way to the finals this year. They may be close as they've ever been to cutting them all down, but I wouldn't be surprised if Gonzaga, gets right there but falls short once again at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if they don't do it this year, I have no idea when they're going to do it. And I say that, and I'm being honest, because they got Jalen Suggs. That's how you say his name, right? That gentleman was a 5-star recruit. Okay, he's definitely the best NBA prospect. I know some people are going to bring up Adam Morrison. He obviously sucked when he got to the NBA, and he cried. This kid's way different. He's a physical specimen. If you remember Adam. He was very skinny and tall and took kind of bad shots, but hey, whatever. They didn't get the job done. But this kid's a little different. I mean, they got him listed 6'4", 205. I heard that he could have went and played football everywhere, decided to play basketball. He'll be a top three pick, I think, in the NBA unless something happens from an injury standpoint. He's been dominant most of the whole year, right? From a basketball standpoint. I mean, I just think it's different in the sense that this Gonzaga team, because they have a kid that's actually a real pro. And then they got the kid, Drew Timmy. He's pretty efficient. Another thing that scares me, I know you said it doesn't really matter, but they haven't been as close games. Him being, their second best player, he shoots horrible from the line. I do believe that is going to make an impact in some shape or form. Plus they only kind of play with like six dudes, six, seven guys, right? I don't even think they play with really seven. I think they're really playing with six guys. And when you're playing a tournament like this, I feel like depth is huge, especially if you get one of those guys, one of their because they do play with a smaller team, right? If I'm not mistaken, Gonzaga is kind of a smaller team, not a true center in their starting lineup. And I think that can get them in trouble. You get one guy in foul trouble. You're playing now with a reserve that's maybe used to playing, 10 minutes a game. You got that person playing 25 in a big game. That can mess up the flow. But I mean, I feel like this is a well-coached team. Obviously, they haven't lost. One thing does concern me is the close games. But then to reference what I said earlier, when they did play BYU, they were getting beat. I actually looked it up and wrote it down. I didn't look at it earlier, but they were down 12 at halftime against BYU, came back, smoked. And I'm not saying BYU is great by any means. Okay. Don't get me wrong. They played the same teams, trash. But they did come back, beat them by like 22 in the second half. And I just feel like they have Jalen to be able to lead them the way and then Tibbs. I think they could, And then they got another couple players. The other forward, Corey, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Don't worry, people. I try not to mispronounce everyone's name. But that kid could play a little bit. He's been pretty effective. So they got three kids that could play ball. That kid actually is not a true center, but he's 6'7". So, I mean, 6'7". And if you
Yeah, Tim, what I would say is
so they
this
have a
Nevada team, you're
pretty
right.
decent
They
team.
don't go
I
that
mean,
deep. They're only about 7-man rotation. Over 40% of the time, they're just on this kind of Suggs kind of through Timmy kind of lineup. Timmy and Watson switch out of the center. They're both undersized, 6'10 and 6'8. We talked about close games, playing long minutes. They've been able to tap out late in games, blowing out crappy teams in the WCC. They haven't had the foul trouble issues, right? When you're playing bigger teams, more athletic teams, you haven't faced before, fouls become an issue, right? We only got a 7-8 man rotation. Fouls have become a blatant issue. It's plagued Michigan a couple times this year. Michigan doesn't go 10 deep by any means either, right? A lot of the top teams don't. I get all that. There are some cracks here with Gonzaga. They could get tripped up. They do rely on a handful of starters. They're a little undersized versus the big dogs and the one and two lines that they're going to face across the bracket here. At the end of the day, you made a good point. It's COVID. They got a team that can do it. They have the talent maybe they've never had before when it just comes to a pure athletic kind of recruiting level, right? Kind of raw talent coming into the program. This is their shot. They can prove us all wrong. I don't expect them to prove us wrong, to be honest with you. I think they'll get tripped up along the way. On some level, I wish them the best. I certainly don't need to see another blue blood go out there and win their fifth or, seventh championship, right? Certainly glad the ACC kind of just isn't well represented this year. Love to see someone new kind of take something down. If it can't be a team in the Big Ten, right, who hasn't won a championship in over 20 years, wouldn't mind it being Gonzaga at the end of the day. They'll be in the tournament deep. But again, those close games, those tight games, right? You shoot foul shots a little different, right? That big three, right? That poor foul, that third foul before the half, that early third foul in the beginning of the second half, that can put them short a man. And when they're short a man, they're vulnerable. And that vulnerability, I expect to come out here in the tournament. And I think it may eventually trip them up and prevent them from being a first-time national champion.
Yeah, especially when Virginia is the four and they got the five, which is Creighton. And I was like, oh, if you'd have asked me a month and a half ago, can Creighton give them some trouble? I'd have said, yeah. Now I think Creighton's dog manure because they had some controversy with their coach and his comments, and the team kind of quit on them in a sense, I think. The last game they got blown out by almost 30 points to Georgetown. And like you said, Georgetown is a losing record, not very good. So what I was getting at with that is like, man, they got a pretty nice road. Everything's aligning for them to win, or at least make a deep run, which I think we would have thought they were going to do that anyway. But yeah, like you said, with small, one thing is they do have a good coach, and I think coaching is going to be more important now than ever. They do live in Spokane, so not to be rude, they'll probably feel okay being isolated, where some of these other teams I think are going to have a little bit of issues. Honestly, locked in your hotel, being on, these kids aren't going out there and having that much fun. I don't even know if these kids are going to be able to watch the games, in the stands. I haven't looked into that, but I know they're going to have some really crazy protocols. And as a young kid, once you get bored from the video games and the Twitter, I mean, what else are you going to be doing? Hopefully, if you're U of I basketball players, you're not reading about yourself and feeling yourself. Right, because we want to make a deep run. But any other crazy closing remarks that you wanted to say? I think you hit it on the head. And everyone, as you can tell, Dustin knows his basketball. I wanted to show some insight because I definitely want to bring you on again because I'm worried about your football team because now you're a basketball team. Now you're a basketball school. You used to be a football school. I'm kind of worried about Michigan. And you can throw shots at you, Illinois State. We're known for the Redbirds, okay? We have Chick-fil-A in the cafeteria. That's what we're known for. So maybe not sports. But any closing remarks that you have? And you're if you got one prediction, what's your prediction? I guess who you picking or what's your prediction here? U of I? I know you said it
Yeah,
a
I see
couple
this.
times, just want
Excited
to
the
confirm
tournament's
it, and then
back.
any
Last
closing
year
remarks.
felt just like an empty void not having it. It's one of my favorite times of year. It's one of the better formats. It doesn't probably give you who's the best team in the country every single year, right? Okay. What it does, it gives you that drama, that excitement, that fun, that the brackets, the camaraderie in the workplace, at home, family, friends. I really do love this time of year. It's a great couple of weeks. The first couple of days of the tournament are always the best. This kind of Friday through Monday feels kind of different this year, but definitely looking forward to it. I do think Illinois is my team to beat right now. They're just playing too well to pick against them, right? I do think there'll be three ones in the final four. I think Michigan is the likely odd man out in that category, but well-coached team, you never know at the end of the day. I do think this is a year that we're going to see some excitement. We're going to probably see one of those deeper runs from 12 or 13. I'm excited for that as well, right? I got my squares. I got my brackets filled out. I'm looking forward to it, Tim. Would love to come back in the future. Obviously, just exciting times. Sports aren't quite back all the way, but this is a great first step and a massive departure from a year ago. So excited to get these things going here, and Glad the kids could all come back as seniors and fifth year seniors and, newly eligible again for another year, 6 year seniors for some people next year. But this is an important one for college basketball, and I'm excited to see how it all tips off and plays out.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining. And that extra year of eligibility, Gonzaga is going to have like 35-year-olds on their basketball team, so it'll be like a men's league. So that's pretty cool for them. But yeah, I appreciate you joining. I do think that this will be the best Monday of the year. They did switch it from a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now it's starting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So Monday probably productivity is going to be a little bit lower, I would imagine, across the nation than it normally is on a Monday. But I mean, people got to be excited. I can't thank you enough, Dustin. I wish Michigan all the best luck. Hopefully, Michigan or U of I are cutting down the nets and everyone enjoys, and hopefully you win some money. I know you told us to bet on Baylor. So people, if you heard that earlier, but thanks
You
for
too. Thanks a
joining.
lot, Tim.
Greatly appreciate it.